chapters of our series for our study in Corinth and everything that's going on there. And of course, there's a completely different book that we can dive into. But for our study through 1 Corinthians, we are in the home stretch. Why? Because he has spent so much of this time up until now enumerating all of the deficiencies, talking about all of the problems, what's happened. You guys have a lack of unity. You've got bickering and fighting. You've got open sin. You're not taking the Lord's Supper properly. You guys are advertising your jobs in the church. And there's just so many problems going on. And now we get to the part where Paul puts it together, where Paul says, listen, here are all the problems. Here are all of the things that are causing disunity in the congregation. Now we put you back together. He spent, 11 chapters tearing them apart. Now he's got his glue out, and how do we put us back together? Whenever there is any kind of church, and I tell you what, if we were to just study problems, every problem that a church could have, we would be here way past the Lord coming back talking about them. Why? Because as we are a group of people, just as we thought we'd covered every problem we could possibly cover, because we're sinners, there'd be more problems in there. Right? As you get people together and we all have sin natures and we all have weaknesses and we've all got mistakes that we'll make, we'll interject more. So how do we prevent problems? Because I tell you what, it is far better to prevent problems than to fix them. Am I right? I feel like I'm right on that. Right? If I can prevent something from happening, it is far easier than to clean it up. Right? If I take my precious baby girl back there and we're going to have spaghetti on a Sunday. Well, automatically, for those of you that have raised a child before, what's going through your head? Well, how about a bit, brother? How about you change your clothes, brother? Don't even put the Sunday clothes on them. You put them in some play clothes. Let them tear it up. Don't. All these thoughts. Why? You're thinking prevention, prevention, prevention. Because there's no way I want to be sitting there with one of those Tide pens trying to. Well, I need a Tide paintbrush to get that out of a child that just had spaghetti for lunch. Why? That's just what would happen. Not picking, not being mean, but that's what happens. So you think, prevention. How do I stop it from happening? Brother Charlie and I, we were walking up here with Brother Dennis. We were looking at this, and he was talking about how some of that mesh was put up in the gutter area to stop birds from going in there. Have you ever reached up into a gutter to pull out birds nesting, right? When they get up into the gutter and you can't see it and you're pulling that out, you ever have a bird come out? You ever reach up in there, expect to find a handful of hay, but instead you find a handful of like gooey egg mess? And you've got to walk around with that on your conscience for the next afternoon. Just, oh no. That's horrible. What do? You prevent that from happening. You stop it. Right? So much of my job before was to walk through the property. And all right, look, you see that? We're going to have wasps there. I'm going to get a phone call and a lady's going to get upset about that. Or, hey, we're going to come over here and you see that? The lights are out. Guaranteed when they come by to cut the catalytic converters, that's where they're going to go. Right? Because there's no lights over there. You look at it and you prevent a problem. How do we prevent problems in a church? And how do we fix the ones that are there? Well, Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one, and the selfsame, sorry, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So what do I got to do first? Number one, when I walk into church, I got to stop seeing the building as the church and start seeing the people. And I got to walk into the people. I've got to see the people. I had this problem at Flat Rock. I quickly developed it here. I just walk here to there. You ever do that? I'll come in and as the pastor, I've got checklists. I got to do this. I'm going through and I'm checking things. I've got my little book over here and I got another little book over there. And check. All right, go over. You know what I'll realize? When was the last time you stopped and you said good morning to so-and-so? You ever do that? You ever think of a church member? When was the last time I stopped and asked them how they're doing? As the Bible talks, there are diverse people. There are many people, and we all have our own gifts. And each and every one of us did not come here of our own volition, but came here as saved people, having been saved by who? By God. We are brought together under the same Spirit. You got to see people. And you got to cherish them. We're all just a little bit different, aren't we? Some of us are really different. But we're all, hey, we're all just a little bit different. And many of us, we've got different gifts and different talents. And we've got different things that we're able to do. And some of us were so caught up in humanism, we refuse to admit that there are things that we can do. And perhaps we refuse because it sounds too much like taking credit, right? No, we got things that we're able to do. If God gave you the ability to do things, right, it's not a matter of pride for you. Who gave it to you according to this passage? The Lord gave it to you. And you have that to be a blessing. And we can sit there, we can enumerate all sorts of stuff. Some of you are amazing with kids. Just amazing with kids. You know what? That's really handy when you got what? Kids in the church. Some of you are tremendous organizers. Your brains are so organized and you're so methodic in things. And I tell you what, when you've got a large thing going on in a church, guess what we need? We need that methodicalism. We need that ability to do things. Right? We need anywhere from how we do our business to how we set up the food. We need it everywhere. Right? It's fun for me when I walk past things and I start to see lists of things. And right, I walk by the refrigerator back there and I see that they're labeled. We're going to put this kind of food over here, that kind of food over there. I don't know who did it. But guess what I know now? There's somebody out there who likes lists and methodologies sit there and they go, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. That's wonderful. We need that. Right, and some of you, no doubt, you picked that up from business. You had it as a child from school. Whatever it was, whatever, you could go out there and you could make millions of dollars with that. But you bring it into the Lord's house and you do it. Right, and we've all got different abilities. And many of us, we've got multiple abilities, different ways our brains work. And the church benefits from it. Why'd the Lord make sure you have those? Why? Because you were elect and he knew we needed it. He equipped you. The people he calls, he equips. We talk about how the Lord is our source for everything. Yeah, you picked up some skills here or there. Yeah, there are things you were able to do. But praise the Lord, he put you through those circumstances. And now you've got those skills. We bring them in. And we have respect for each other for those. Right? But what do we sometimes do instead that causes the divisions? We don't see the skill. We don't see the talent. We measure each other based off of other things. Right? Well, you can't do what I do as good as I do it. Well, why on earth would the Lord need two of you? Right? Well, I tell you what, maybe we measure each other in time. Well, I tell you what, I'm always here to do the this and do the that and those over here. That's great. Praise the Lord. That's great. But you know what? Not everybody has the same strength. Not everybody has the same time. And while it is admonished to us, while it is encouraged to us to pour time into the work of the Lord, it is what we are here for, we find different amounts of strength and different amounts of ability at different stages of life. It just happens. Right? Xander is a church member. My little buddy signed up. I gotta stop picking on my kids. He signed up to do the trash.
And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking in my head how big the trash cans are, how big the trash bags are. And I put my name right next to him and go, buddy, you find one you can't lift, Dad's going to be there. Right? We're limited by different things. Right? Maybe you need shoulder replacement. You can't do that. That's not a thing. We don't measure people based off of that. We don't measure people by how much time they have or what they can put in. Right? Some of you could have come in yesterday, put in 20 minutes worth of work and outdone me. It's just within your ability to do. We don't measure each other by the faults. We see each other for what God has blessed in our lives. Now again, we answer to sin, we deal with sin, we don't become lighthearted in it. We want to be driven, we want to serve the Lord, we encourage that in each other. But the very first step is what? We all have gifts. Now he listed some gifts in here that we don't have anymore. We don't have the gifts of healing and the gifts of tongues or interpreting of tongues. We don't have those. But we do have many more that could be listed here. I talked about organization. Right now, how about this one? One that's so easily discounted in today's day, right? Some of you are good cooks. Some of you are good cooks. You say, well, brother, that's very superficial, very old-fashioned. You know what? To a young family that was scared out of their minds to come and see a church, that was amazing. It was. Well, brother, we ordered the food. We didn't want to tell you. You're good at ordering. No. What is it? You're resourceful. You're thinking. You're kind. You're open-hearted. You do things. Right? Well brother, I can do is I can go and I can shake hands. You know what that means to somebody coming in and they feel awkward? And you're able to go over and start a conversation? We all have gifts. We all have abilities. Some of us not so much in other areas, right? But we're strong in some. We praise the Lord for that. Right? In his organization of skills and talents, we'll find ourselves creating quite a net where each of us are able to do different things. You got to love your church. You got to see them for those abilities. You got to be able to use your abilities in the church. Right? Well, you know, we had one lady, I tell you what, she couldn't show up to scrub the floor in the kitchen at Flat Rock. She couldn't cook anything at a certain point. She was just so limited by her body. She couldn't do certain things. But you know what she did? She'd sit there and she would just write letters. And she was a poet. And I tell you what, it was amazing. The Lord blessed her that way. So many of the things that she wrote to encourage me, I still have. And you ask her, there's nothing I can do. Oh, but she did. We have so much talent and so much skill. The Lord would never just leave you here unable to do anything. I've heard so many testimonies of people on their deathbed, no other strength but to sit there and one last time give the gospel to some nurse who looks overworked and overtired and share some kind word to a person who's just got too much going on. We have abilities. We see each other. We work together in those things. The more we serve, the more we appreciate each other. The more we serve together, the more we appreciate each other. If our hearts and minds are right, if we don't appreciate each other, that's going to create more of a wedge the more we work together. We need to have a heart, right? Patience is easy when we have appreciation. Patience with each other is easy when we have a desire to see the best for each other and to do our talents or the things, the gifts that God has given us to perform those for the betterment of others. Right? There are some men here that give great devotions. They're a powerful blessing to me, not just because it takes a thing off of me to do. Right? I tell you exactly what I would do. We'd have some kids up here just singing, and I can think of a dozen things we could do. Right? We're not for the devotions, but we have them, and they're a blessing. We do have them. Well, they're not the greatest, they're not the most phenomenal. You got the talent the Lord gave you. Keep using it. They're a blessing to us. I appreciate that. We're all different people united together by what? By the Spirit. God saved us. The Holy Spirit brought us here. Some of you, you come here for a long time. Some of you, you're come here since birth. Some of you were saved in other churches. The Lord brought you here, right? The Lord brought us all the way up from down river. The Lord all brought us here. None of us would be here were it not for Him. So therefore, if I'm looking across at you going, man, what are you doing here? The answer is simple.
The Lord put them there. And it's my duty, my job to be a blessing to them. Well, I don't know. Did you hear what they said? Yes. Did you hear what the Lord said about forgiveness? If the Lord put them here, they've got value. And we treat each other as such, with love and value. We sang that song at Flat Rock about this guy who comes in. He doesn't have nice clothes. He doesn't have a shiny Bible. And he's just at a church where everybody has things, and he doesn't have much but the desire to be a church on a Sunday. And the tagline of that song was, well, by grace through faith, that's why I'm here. By grace through faith, I am here, and I've got a seat here by grace through faith. Not because of the money in your bank, not because of the knowledge rattling in your head, not because of how cool you are, but by grace through faith. And if God has brought you here, we ought to love you. And you ought to love other people. We see value in each other when I see that you are brought here by the Spirit, much the same as I was. We're all different in our abilities, yes. But in being different, we come together in a special way. Verse 12 of our text, chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the head, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And I tell you what, there's a lot of division that comes by comparing one member to the other. Right? Well, I'm just a foot. I'm a little stinky, right? You never see me. I'm always the one undercover. I'm always the one behind the scenes. No one ever goes walking out with their feet out. Well, it's a different era. I guess maybe we do, but nobody ever cares about a foot. I just get stepped down all the time and blah, blah. I'm not the head. I'm not the heart. I'm not cool like the pancreas or liver, right? You could lose me and the body go on without me. Nobody would notice. You'd notice your foot being gone. You'd notice the foot being gone, would you not? I'm just a thumb. You notice your thumb missing. Thumbs are important. Thumb works together with the rest of the hand, does great things. Right? Well, you know what? I'm not the nose. I'm just a nose hair. We need you. And we go on all day with that, can't we? Well, I'm just. You're never just. Well, I don't have this title. I don't have this rank. That's why I don't like titles or ranks. We start calling ourselves by names, we either think we're more or less important than other people. The body needs the body. It does. Right? Well, I'm not the dominant hand, I'm the second hand. All right, fine. Well, go ahead and comb your hair, brush your teeth one hand. Go ahead and tie your shoes one handed. Come back and tell me you're just a left hand. When we get to the point where we define our membership in the words just, we're in trouble. We've already begun to ostracize ourselves if we're not being ostracized by others. And by the way, we ought not ostracize each other in terms of just. Well, I don't see them doing this. I don't see that happening. It's not your job to see who is and who is not doing something other than to help them. Other than to reach out and support them. Other than to reach over, give them encouragement, give them a little understanding, and hey, why not a little compassion while we're at it? Can't ostracize each other. Right? Think of a body part you'd be perfectly okay losing right now. That's a morbid thought, isn't it? But right? Man, I tell you what. Now, I tell you, you probably got some body parts you wish were working right, brother? That's the body parts, man, I just wish you'd get it together. Right? Or in your case, not so together. I bet we do. We got some parts we wish were working right, but not a single one we'd rather have not at all than not working. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would much rather have it working right than have it not working at all. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. No. We want it right. And sometimes to keep the body together,
We've got to do a little restoration. We've got to do a little fix. We've got to do a little surgery. We've got to do a little repair. Maybe something work's got to be done. Right? This church ought to never be in a position where one part of the body doesn't communicate to the other. Right? I'm telling you, I've been in churches where you just see people avoiding entire parts of the church. Why? Because so-and-so 20 years ago said this, and that's their son, so I can't go talk to them. And it's not how a church works. It's not how we do it. If I've got to go over and I've got to restore some blood flow, if I've got to clear up some communication, if I've got to fix something, we go and we fix it. We are a body together. We don't sit there and assign values, right? I tell you what, a toe is not as expensive or not as valuable as a heart is. This isn't the black market. We need everything. Right? Remember, it's an illustration. We don't assign value to ourselves based on how useful we think we are. We're all one organism. We're all one body. And what body is it that we are? The body of Christ. Right? When I sit there as whatever I am, right? Whatever you see yourself as is the body of Christ. And I tell you what, try not to. Right? If you sit there and try to, I guess I'm
just a little thumbnail.
Right? Don't do that. It's an illustration. You are a part of the church. You have value. You have a part here. Right? And what am I a part of? The body of Christ. That's valuable. There's no bad parts to that, provided we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, provided we're interacting the way that we're supposed to be interacting, right? Jesus did go on that sermon about if a certain body part of yours offends you, pluck it out. Let's not be an offensive body part. Let us be cohesive. Let us be working. Let us be active in our roles. But let us never sit there and discredit or discount our roles in the church. We're different parts. We have different offices, different specialties, right? I sit up here and we're in the choir, and I'll tell you what, I'd had that confession today. Some of y'all can read music. If you can read music at all, like you look at a note and that's this note, can you just pop your hand up real quick if you can read? I'm not going to pick on you to do something. Nobody reads music. Oh, Danielle does, okay. And Caspian does a little bit, okay. Some of y'all, you're lying to me. You can, you're musical. You can hear the notes. Some of you are lying to me. You can't. Me, I'll sit there. I can read a little bit. You know what I am? Like, if we were to transition this to real reading, right? I told this joke, but it's the truth. Like, some of you, you may be at the children's book level. I am at the cardboard C-spot level of reading when it comes down to music. C-spot, and then, like, the next page is, like, the dog, and it's got, like, a furry cover. Like, that's where I am. Some of you can. I heard some of you guys come in, you practice the specials. That's amazing to me. I can't do that. Danielle comes up, she plays the piano. Sister Paula, she plays the guitar. Some of y'all got musical talent, you're hiding from me. I know it. You can do it, and it's amazing. I can't do it. That's your part. God gave you the ability to sit there and pay attention during those lessons, and that's a blessing. You did it, that's wonderful. Some of you got mathematical brains. Some of you got logical brains. Some of you got different things. We've all got different offices. We've all got different talents. We've all got different little niches we can fill, right? It's handy having an electrician around. It is. We've all got abilities. We've all got things to do. And one day when I buy a bus, we got a bus driver. No, scratch that. Just cut. Edit that out. We're not doing that. Unless you find one for sale. No, but we've all got things we can do. It's amazing. It's valuable. And we speak to that. And we serve to that in the body. In the body of what? In the body of Christ. It's His will we're doing. It's His work we're doing. Let's not hold back. Let's not hide things. Let's put the effort in. And let's appreciate each other for what it is we can do. Right? We're fulfilling His work, His way, accomplishing His will, and for His glory.
We sit there and we see something happen. We hear somebody express something. Maybe it's in a fellowship. Maybe it's in a prayer time. It affects us all. And we stop and we give praise and glory to God for it. And I sit there and I think of Christ saving each and every one of us. Think of the Holy Spirit bringing us here. There's power in that. And we stop and we praise God for what He's done. Sure, we could fight for value. We could fight over the best gifts. We could fight over the best jobs, the best chores. But I like what Paul had to say. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. For there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. I care for your success. I care for you to do well. You do the same for me. It's how we work. I pull for you, you pull for me. When you mourn, I'm there. When something is wrong, we ought to be there for each other. Be open and caring and loving. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know, I could sit there, get down in the mouth, well, I can't believe God gave you that gift, but I didn't get it. Well, I tell you what, if I could do that, right? I like this one. I heard a church member say to another, if I had your money, I'd burn mine. If I had this, if I had that, if I had that, you relax. Paul sits there, can we all heal? Are we all pastors? Are we all teachers? Are we all musicians? Are we all deacons or whatever? Any title you want to splash into a church, are we all? No. But each body prefers the other members. We all care together. What does Paul say? We can sit there and we can all fight for the best gifts, fight for the best talents, fight for the best chores. We can all really go at it. He goes, but I show you a better way. I've got something better. And what does he launch into? Right? When we cruise on into verse 13. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as what? As sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. What is the bond? All brought together by the Spirit, all empowered by God, given gifts, all put to the same use as the body of Christ. But what is it that holds us all together? What is the sinew? What is the skin that encloses us together as a body? It's love. You could be the smartest person in the church, and without love, it's nothing. I tell you what, I could give you a hammer and a saw, and with just a hammer, a saw, and a bucket of nails, you could build a whole brand new building. But without charity, it's nothing. You could give $1 million to the church. Hey, give two if you want. But without love, it's nothing. There must be love. And when we talk about love, we have to know what kind of love. Not a love for self, not a love for magnifying oneself, not a love for adoration, but a love that goes Godward first, fans out to others, right? That love, that giving love, that agape, perfect love where I prefer others to myself. I love God. And as I love God, I love the people who love God. And we get closer together. And I love them and I care for them. And the love that God shows for me, the mercy and compassion He shows me, fuels the mercy and compassion that I have for others and motivates me. Without that love, this church is nothing.
We think that peace, not fighting, is the key to unity. It's not. It's not.
You ever hear that story of the husband and the wife? They never fought. Right? Kid said, Mom and Dad, they never fought. Lived our entire lives, Mom and Dad never fought. Never talked at all either. That's not peace. You may not have fighting, but you don't have unity. It's being able to work together. Being able to function. You may have all the parts of a car, but you need it together to work. You may have the parts of any apparatus, any group, any club out there. But without unity, all you have is destruction. We need unity, cohesiveness, the ability to work together. And that only comes with love. Because I tell you what, the work won't happen the way that it's supposed to. The work won't happen without love. Why? There'd be no motivation. Right? We'd fall into these cases where, what's in it for me? Why would I do that? I'm not going to go scrub some bathroom floor. I'm not going to go fill up the toilet paper. Why would I go over and handle that bathroom? Why would I come over here and do this? Why would I set up tables if there's nothing in it for me? That, no, we'd fall into that. Wouldn't there be no motivation? But if I love the Lord, you better believe I'll put every fork out there. I will. I'll run the dishwasher twice for the Lord. What's that? My work used to get me to wake up at X amount of clock. I could get up early for the Lord. That's no problem. Why? Because we love Him. If I could do it for money, I could do it for love. I'm just saying. Right? There's a lot of things that I was trained to do at work I get to do here. And I love it a lot better. It's a lot more fun. I'm not even getting... It's not the same. I don't have to get paid to wake up early to go shovel some snow. I'm serving the Lord. I'll do it for the Lord. I'll do it for you. That's our desire. When love enters into the equation, there's motivation. Without love, we lack the motivation to do it right. We lack the motivation to do it at all. And without love, we would be too distracted in all the things that love does not do. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. We know this. Suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Look at all those things that love does. And look at all that extinguishes. Without love, we get caught up in the things that love doesn't do. Look at that list. You know what love doesn't do? Love isn't short-tempered. Right? Love isn't sitting there willing to smack everybody into its position. You disagree with me? Let me tell you about all the 9 different ways you're wrong. Let me tell you about all the 9 different ways I'm better than you. Don't you ever dare sit there and not think that I'm 1,000 times better, right? That's it. Love isn't rude. We get caught up in being rude, right? Well, if they're going to take my parking spot, I'll take their pew. They said that about me. Watch what I say about them. Can you believe they did that? Well, I tell you what, this is what I'm going to do. We're okay with being rude. Why? Because you, without love, it's your rock versus my rock. Your bullet versus my bullet. Right? Your insult versus my insult. We've got no problem without love supplanting everybody else. We'd be caught up in being envious and being selfish and being rash. Whew, I love those moments where people say, well, I was angry and words just came out of my mouth. Really? Really? Right? You, according to the Bible, what's inside of you can only ever be what you are. Right? I've used this illustration before, right? You squeeze an orange, what comes out? Well, if you squeeze it just right, it's apple juice, right? No matter how you squeeze it, it's oranges. You got sin inside, you're under pressure and sin comes out, that's what's inside you. You can't hide that. Well, I was angry. You were angry and you got sin in your heart. Well, no, I was just angry. No, you got squeezed by anger. Sin came out. Be angry and sin not. You were pressed for cash, so you cheated. You were pressed for time, so you lied. What was in you came out. Without love, we get caught up in the rashness and the fast decision making and the throwing words out without thoughts. We look at that word unseemly there. Without love, relationships become lecherous or objectified. How can I get something out of them? How can I get a thrill or a joy out of them? That is not love. Without love, we begin to use others against their benefit or for our own benefit and against theirs. We are combative. We do think evil. We don't rejoice. We rejoice in iniquity instead of the truth. We dread or reject the truth instead of accepting it and rejoicing in it. Why? Because our hearts lack love. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me how to correct it. Don't tell me how to get it right. Just tell me I'm okay. That's not life. That's not love. Preacher, don't tell me I'm wrong. You know how young you are, how old I am. I know stuff. You don't tell me I'm wrong. That's not love. That's not rejoicing in the truth. That's doing anything you can to escape it. The word is the word. We ought to rejoice in it and have love in it. And you know what? It hurts a little bit finding out you're wrong. It does. There's some embarrassment, right? This is ridiculous, but it's a good moment to kind of change the atmosphere. I hate painting the ceiling tiles, but because we talk about painting the ceiling tiles, I was going to paint one. Well, I got a brand new can, didn't shake it well enough. You ever not shake a spray paint can well enough? So the spray paint cans, it shoots up. It was like I was painting with silly string. Got paint all over my hair, paint all over my glasses, paint all over my face. I walked around most of the day just looking like somebody took a paintbrush and went. It's embarrassing. We don't like that, do we? Don't tell me I got paint on my face. Don't tell me I need to blow my nose. Don't tell me I need to stop this sin or change this attitude or fix my heart. Don't tell me these things. That's embarrassing. Tell me I'm perfect. No, this tie doesn't match these pants, but tell me it's right. That is not loving the truth. That's not rejoicing in the truth. Without love, we don't rejoice in the truth. Why? Because when brother so-and-so goes over to brother so-and-so and says, hey, listen, here's this problem I see. Is everything okay? We have love for them and we say, you're just trying to help. Right? I speak it in love. You receive it in love. And we do something about it because we both love God and we want to impress them. Without love, that breaks down. No wonder Corinth was having problems. You lose the love, you lose the motivation, you lose the ability to rejoice in truth. Without love, we're able to bear little, and we always love an excuse. Without love, we lack faith. Without love, there's no hope, there's no endurance. And where it says love doesn't fail, without love, there's tons of failures, isn't there? Hey, I promised you I'd be there, but I wasn't. Hey, I said I'd pray for him, but I never did. You know what? I told him I was going to do that and never did. Without the expression of love. Now, don't confuse the love, the feeling, with love, the attitude of respect. Don't confuse those two. We think that because our hearts go, that's love. That's not love. Right? Well, I just appreciate him. Well, that's great, but that's not love either. Love is the outward show of respect. It is an active word. It is a verb. Right? It's action. I show it. I have an attitude of high respect. If I love them, I will not fail them. Now we're sinners. There will be some failures, but we know the difference between failing a little and failing so often it hurts. So the work won't work without love. Work won't last without love. Right? The preaching will sound good. Right? I know you've done it. I've done it too. You walk up to a preacher at a conference. You can't remember what their subject was.
Preaching that message, brother. And in your heart, it did sound good. Couldn't tell you what it was, but I had a good time. Right? Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm tattling on myself. Right? You walk out, you got no idea. You just know you had a good time. That's what it is. Without the proper love for the Word of God, without the proper love for God, the preaching, it's just words. Right? You think some of these people out there, they write these cute little sermons that never talk about sin, never talk about fixing things, never talk about problems. You think they love their churches? I bet they do. I bet they love the people that are there. That's not where the breakdown in the love is. They don't love the Word the way they should. They don't love God the way they should. And they maybe don't love those people the way that they should, that they're holding back on things. Because they'll preach sermons that just sound good. Right? Without the proper love, we'll just want to sound good. Knowledge won't be respected. You ever hear that phrase? People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You could be absolutely right. But if you're mean, if you're rejectionary, if you're contentious in everything you do, right? I like to think of IT people. I know some IT people. I love some IT people. But it's always the people that work and fix computer problems. They've got a bad, I don't know. They always seem to act like they know way more than you. So the IT people at the work, at my job that I used to have with Paragon, I used to drive this guy, Corey, insane. Right? Well, Matt, you need to do this and this. And he'd say these $10 words, and I'd sit there and go, uh-huh. Uh-huh. But did you fix it? Good. All right, good. And Matt, you got to stop doing blah, blah, blah. And I'd go file my reports or whatever I was doing. Always tell me what not to do. No, I'm kidding. He goes, any other questions? Yeah, I'm trying to get Angry Birds on the company computer. Can you click? Okay. Listen, you can be the most knowledgeable person in the room, but without love, what are you? As Paul says, I'm tinkling brass. I'm silver. I sound good. I look good. You like it, but it does nothing. Why? Because the arrogance gets in the way. The rejection of the way you talk gets in the way. Feeding the poor will do little more than fill the belly for a second without love. Sacrificing your whole life, as Paul says, you know what? I can give my life as a sacrifice without charity. It's nothing. Give my whole life. You could work your whole life as a living sacrifice, but without love, what effort will really be worth it? What will really last? Certainly not the work. There'll be a lot of things bad that are going to happen. We see them on the news. We read them in the book of Revelation. We see it all. We see it all. And as Paul Sisera says, let me get back to my spot here. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It was no longer me, I, mine, my understanding alone. But verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am, even as also I am known. And now abideth what? Faith. Hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You know what? I can have faith. Faith will help me get the job done. Faith will tell me what to do. Faith will tell me how to do it. Faith will give me all the courage I need to take what I've been told to do and get it done. Right? Faith, following any instruction that's His. I faith will help me get it done. Hope will sustain me while I do it. Hope will be that encouragement, that second wind when I need it. But if I've got two, I better have the third. If I've got any of them, I need love. I love the Lord and develop faith. I can look around to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and I can look at the Word of God, and I can count all the blessings, and I can develop hope. But I am lost without charity. We'll end right there. There is one more part where he brings it all together, because I tell you what, it's not about the charity. He goes back and he talks about all the gifts and he talks about all the wonderful things that he has that we can do, but he ties it together. What is it that love does? Now that we've got love, we get unity bound together in love, what does the body now do? And his answer is this:
prophecy, which we understand is preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for this church. Lord, I'm thankful.